Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and, if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Those verses are taken from Colossians 3, verses 12 to 13.
This is the Essential Bible Studies Podcast. My name is Tim Young.
I'm Stephen McFarlane.
Hey, Stephen. Welcome back.
Here we are. Good to have you in the basement again, Tim.
Yeah, we'd like to welcome our listeners to the podcast that keeps forgiving. If this podcast has done anything, we ask for your forgiveness. We're sorry. I think we're off to a good start here because we're going to be talking about forgiveness, aren't we?
They should tune into this one, of course. If they're faithful listeners, we don't need to tell you, but we will. There are Slurpees on the table.
Uh-oh.
So it's been a tradition now, I think, for the last few podcasts. So Tim was gracious enough to bring it again. So
Ever since the Overcoming Temptation podcast, it's been a temptation ever since.
We're not doing such a good job at that. Yeah.
This is a really important subject. It has my mind kind of swimming in so many different scriptures about forgiveness, because from Genesis to Revelation, this is a key concept. And I feel like we've kind of been building up to this point. I mean, you and I have talked about Exodus 33 and 34.
We've circled this a couple times.
The proclamation of the name of God, Yahweh, and his qualities. And in the podcast, we've talked about sin, the importance of sin. I think that's a really important one. It's called Sin in Five Verses. And if you see that one, you might be like, oh, I don't know if I'll listen to that one. Don't skip that one, because I think an important part of this is realizing how dangerous sin is, like, you know, how God views sin. And so that's an important part of this as well. And we've talked about repentance. We've talked about love and all these kind of things. But I really feel like we need to deal with forgiveness on this level, mm-hmm. because it is just so essential in so many ways and so key to who God is, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about, you know, why forgive today. And we're going to be talking about some principles of forgiveness. And what makes forgiveness so hard or so difficult? And then we're going to go back and talk more about forgiveness and kind of wrap things up. You want to start us off here? Where would we start with this? Such a huge topic.
Yeah, I think you led us down the path. And I think to your point, Tim, we've kind of circled this subject in a number of different ways. And usually it all comes down to where it all began. And it began with God. Yeah. And we think, you know, we'll look at this as we go through the podcast, how you'll find this theme throughout the Word of God, and how fitting it is that we could start with the very character of God, who God is. And it's remarkable to see that as part of that character, forgiveness is tied in. So we've talked about the verse before. We've been into Exodus 34 a couple times. And, you know, there you'll find it, verse 6 and verse 7, where it lays out the very character of God. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Mm-hmm. It's quite something that, tied to forgiveness, it's the one quality here that almost seems to continue and continue and continue.
What
forgiving
do you mean by that?
Iniquity and transgression and sin. It's like this build where you feel often, don't you, when there's this desire and this need for forgiveness, it's like you've had these weights that have been on you. And that's what forgiveness can do, as we'll see as we go through this. It can relieve you of that personally, for yourself, for the others, in terms of who you're forgiving, and certainly what God can do for us. And so it's fitting to start, when you're thinking about why do we forgive, that it really begins with the very character of God. God is forgiveness. And so as we try to manifest God, it makes sense that we're trying to do what he is, and that's to forgive.
Yeah, so core and essential to it. And there seems to be, too, just when you read through these verses, a balance or a mixture of qualities, right? Because there's the compassionate, there's mercy side, but there's also a faithfulness and truth and judgment side that you see in these verses. And it's not like a seesaw where it's one or the other. I think of it more like the cream in your coffee or something. You know, it's a mixture of all these things in a good mixture, like a recipe. Like if you season something with too much seasoning, it ruins it. And if you don't have enough, it's just bland, right? Mm-hmm. But God has all these qualities together. He's ready to forgive, but there are expectations behind all this. And I think we see that in here, right? This passage is so important. It's just quoted time and time again throughout Scripture. And one of these passages is one I love. It's Psalm 103. Here's the echo back to Exodus. When you go to Psalm 103, in verse 7, it says here in Psalm 103, He, that's God, made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. There your little echo antennas go up saying, oh, that's from Exodus 34 when God first said it. And so Moses needed to learn some things about God. He needed to learn about God's forgiveness, as we do. And this is a beautiful psalm here relating this. And let me just keep reading this psalm, and you might recognize it because it's a pretty famous passage. But he says, He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. So there's that, as far as the east is from the west. Whereas if you never thought about that, if you go east, you just keep going and going and going. And same if you go west, you just keep going west, 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 west. And you never get east. And that's the idea. It's infinite, right? As far as the east is from the west, God says he'll forget our sins. He won't remember them anymore. And that's pretty awesome. Mm. This quality of God.
Yeah, there's some of those verses in the Bible. When you read it, you almost feel like you can just take a deep breath. A little bit of a relaxing verse.
Mm.
It makes you relax a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, life can be difficult. Dealing with the flesh, we see this battle in the Word of God between the flesh and the spirit, can overwhelm us.
Or dealing with others, too.
Dealing with others, as we'll see.
So that's a good psalm just to sit down and just read the psalm when you're feeling it.
Yeah, and you recognize what God is able to do and wants to do. And it's interesting, you think of the consistency of God's Word. Those three words that we looked at, God forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. And look what we have here, Psalm 103. All three of them are brought out.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they're all there. Iniquity and sin in verse 10, transgression, verse 12.
Yeah.
God is consistent in his message and what he's done.
Yeah.
And it's all there in Psalm 103.
Yeah. And just to bring out that point that really the forgiveness is not unconditional, right? In this psalm, it says it twice and maybe I think three times. It's for those who fear him. So there has to be a certain amount of respect, and we're going to talk about this more, how that actually plays out. But it's not just out of willy-nilly, right? So there is some sort of response that God expects from us.
Probably the first time you've said that in the podcast, and willy-nilly. But you're right. Listen, I think it's exciting to read, and we're going to get into the requirements from us, because you're right. But to see the consistency of God's word and to know that God doesn't just say these things, he then gives us an example to follow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's also very comforting for us as we read through the word of God. Mm-hmm. It's not just, okay, here is my character, so forgive. God then gave his son and said, I'll demonstrate that mm-hmm. in what he was able to do.
Yeah.
And you think of the example of the Son of God who, if you were to summarize his life and say, what was the most difficult thing he had to go through? Almost everyone would say when he was on the cross.
Right.
The crucifixion.
Yeah.
And so how amazing it is that that's the moment when God says, okay, here's the principle of forgiveness. And the words of Christ are, forgive them, those that are doing this,
yeah,
for they don't know what they do. Forgive them. And again, to your point, as you think about what we're trying to talk about here, your mind just races. How is it possible? How is that developed? How can I do the same thing? And so sure enough, here's the Son of God who was trying to manifest God. Certainly the answers for us are found in the Word of God to be able to develop that same character.
Yeah, that's so interesting because just the betrayal and the hurt and the anger being focused on him, he just turned all that. And when you think about that saying he says on the cross, it's actually a prayer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They're doing it in ignorance. And the ironic thing is that what he's doing there, he's providing the means for forgiveness, because it's really only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have or receive the forgiveness of sins,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, and then, so you think, you know, why do we forgive?
Yeah.
We've thought about it's the very character of God.
Yeah.
It's who God is. We see the example that he's given to us to follow after, his Son. And we think, well, is that what we are trying to strive towards? Is that what we're trying to be? And so you just think about the verse that we started with in Colossians 3.
Our key verse.
Our key verse. And there it is, put on as God's chosen ones. We're trying to be those that are chosen of God. And one of those requirements was forgive. Forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. There's this aspect that we're compelled to forgive. It's the only response that we should have to God's forgiveness, to follow the example of his Son, to manifest God, for he is forgiveness. It's like this beautiful flow throughout the Word of God that all leads together.
Yeah. You know, when we talk about why forgive, that's really the example of Christ is showing forth in our lives too, and that's a beautiful passage. I think it all leads to verse 15 when he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And this is the way that peace is established. It's through reconciliation, because having forgiveness for one and another is really this idea of coming to this point of reconciliation. And that's the beauty of it. I mean, when you think about it, when these principles are followed, they really bring a peace and a joy to your life. Even after severe sin or severe hurt from sin, you can have this marvelous outcome. You can have recovery. You can have renewal. You can have rejoicing. You can have reconciliation. And that's what we want in our marriages, in our families, with our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that example to those out in the world that will bring them in. But when these principles are ignored, like we don't forgive, what's the outcome of that? That's only devastation, destruction.
Yeah.
You're dishonoring God's word. It's just division. That's not peace. That's war. So there's a very practical outcome of this too, I think, which is a beautiful aspect of the principles of God that are really beautiful. So, you know, what are these principles we're talking about? They're aspects of our faith, of our repentance, and of developing this forgiving attitude of having the mind of Christ. But it all starts with our faith, doesn't it? Because we have to believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, right? So faith is critical, but what's the reward that we get from God?
Hmm.
What's the blessing we get from God?
Yeah.
It's forgiveness of sins. Mm-hmm. It's this peace that we can have, that we can be reconciled to God. And so that's really where our faith comes in. And we might often have a hard time just even forgiving ourselves. But this is the development of faith in our life, that we believe that God forgives us. And we have to believe that, right? to progress in this, we have to be able to believe that he's forgiven us, that our hearts don't condemn us, because God is greater than our hearts. And to have actually that faith lead us in our life, right?
Yeah, it's an interesting tie-in, as you said, to the three principles that you outlined of forgiveness, because that faith compels action in us.
Oh, yeah.
And the action that's asked of us is this idea of repenting.
Yeah.
Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And so there's this action, God forgiving us, but there's this action required of us, and that's repentance. Repent first. So we have to do something. And then this principle of forgiveness is kind of brought forward for us. And so there's this, you know, idea that we first recognize that sin. You brought that up early on, Tim. We confess the sin. We repent for that sin. And that's really what the word is all about. Repenting is all about changing. It's doing something different. And that's what we're looking for when we ask for God's forgiveness, is we're making this action of doing things differently than we'd done before.
180-degree U-turn.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And it's the very definition of that word, repent. It means to think differently. It's taken from this word. We often use the word metamorphosis.
Yeah.
That's one of these words, meta, that it's taken from. It's this total change. We understand what that word means.
With a butterfly, yeah.
Exactly. And that's what we're attempting to do as we seek for God's forgiveness, is this commitment, this action in us to think differently, to do differently. And that's really what God is requiring from us. It's this principle of forgiveness. We now need to do something different.
Letting the word guide our thoughts and actions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's letting the word guide our thoughts and actions. Not like we can do it ourselves. I mean, God's giving us that strength through his word, right? To do this, to change our minds, and to develop in ourselves a forgiving attitude to be like him. Because that's the ultimate, wouldn't it be? To be like God in that sense, ready to forgive, just wanting to forgive, because he wants to draw people to him. And that's the same attitude that we have to have. In Matthew 6, when Jesus gave us that example prayer, the Lord's Prayer, you know, right in the middle of it, he has that verse that says, "And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." So we're asking God for forgiveness, as we forgive others. So there's this tie-in with our forgiveness with how we forgive others. And this is a big subject with, especially the Lord Jesus Christ and some of his parables. But it's interesting with this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, that there's a comment after the prayer that Jesus gives, and it's on the same exact subject in verse 14 and 15. It says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So, you know, I read that all the time, and I think, I'm slipping up here, you know, because the way the attitude sometimes I have towards people is you see what they're doing wrong, or you get hurt, and you just blow them off. There has to be that desire for them to repent from that sin. You want to forgive it, right? You're always there ready to forgive it. And if you have that attitude, you have the attitude of God. God looks on you the same way. He's very favorable with that kind of attitude, right? So it is very difficult, though. Like, it's so hard to forgive people. I mean, you have any thoughts on that? Like, why is that? Like,
yeah, everything we've kind of shared, it sounds like it's easy. You just read the verses and you do it. And then you get hurt.
Yeah.
Or you recognize sin in yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you have to ask for that forgiveness, or you have to give forgiveness. How do you do it?
Yeah.
And to your point, it's a very difficult thing. And you think, you know, probably what maybe most of us would say first is, why is forgiveness so difficult? Often it's because we're hurt in some way. We've been hurt. And that's a hard thing now, to have this element of God's character, the spirit of his son, to forgive and to forgive and to forgive, even while we're hurt. That's really difficult. And so you think, well, what do we do about that? I'm not suggesting we have all the answers, Tim. You know, one suggestion is, these things do take time.
Mm.
It's not easy to say how long or what it takes. But that's one suggestion, not so to be...
The old adage, time heals all wounds?
You wonder where it came from. Certainly, right, someone maybe who was wronged in some way and seeking forgiveness or offering it up. But the Bible does tell us to suffer ourself to be defrauded. There are times when we're going to go through difficulty and we will be hurt. And what an opportunity that God expects us to still show this character and to still work through it in the way his son could while he was on the cross.
I think that goes back to some degree to the faith we have in God we're talking about, because if God is working our lives, he's working in all our lives.
Yeah.
And so when we have these difficulties, when we're praying for other people, like the Lord Jesus Christ says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. It's believing that God will work this for good, right? And so giving it to him to work through some of these issues as well. You know, it's not all up to us. So when you talk about time, you talk about those kind of things, it's believing that God is working in all our lives for that purpose of reconciliation.
Yeah. 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 And sometimes it's challenging, right? We have our own fault and we have to now forgive someone for doing the same thing that we struggle with, maybe silently that no one knows.
Yeah.
And we don't want to shine a light on our own fault. And so we find it difficult to forgive them of what they've done, even though we are the closest to that and can certainly be one who could be understanding in that situation. And yet, how great is it that God saying, but I've forgiven you of your struggles and I've forgiven you of your sins and your faults. So go and do likewise. And that's what you brought up in Matthew 6. Forgive others. If we don't, God won't.
Right.
You know, and that's what he's saying. You forgive, I forgive. And so it's this, you know, compelling that we should have to want to do that and to pay that forward, to be part of the solution for them, to allow them that freedom from the burden and from the guilt that they might have. And that's what God expects of us, as challenging as it is.
Yeah. It's often a two-way street too, right? Because we talk about forgiving somebody else, but there's a lot of times where we just swallow our pride and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing to come over too, right?
Because
you don't want to feel vulnerable. You don't want to be wrong in that way, right? Like we don't want to show weakness or something like that, right? But when we confess our faults one to another, there's a beauty in that. There's a knowledge in that. There's a closeness in that, that we can grow closer because of these things, not farther apart because we hide them, right?
Yeah. There's a wonderful quote, Tim. It's in a book. It's called Fruit of the Spirit, if anyone wanted to look it up. And the author, he says...
Who's the author?
The author is Colin Attridge.
Okay.
And he writes there, he says, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner was you. I like to say that's one of those quotes you have to do a bit of mental gymnastics.
Can you say it again?
Yeah. you almost have to listen to it at least twice. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover the prisoner was you.
Mm.
And sometimes that's exactly what's happening. Is there is this freedom of recognizing that you needed this action to do to someone. But also sometimes there's this introspection that in what you're now doing for someone else, God has done for you. Or you need to go to God to ask for that forgiveness of whatever it is you're doing. And there's this two-way street, as you say, and this recognition of this vulnerability and what it can do for you. You know, we talked a little about the weight that sometimes can weigh us down. And forgiveness is one of those things that can start to set you free in some ways from that.
Yeah.
And to really appreciate the character of God and the goodness of God and his love for us and what he's doing for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what's interesting there, Tim, too, is, you know, we think about that quote and how the quote really gets us thinking internally. There's the introspection of recognizing that just perhaps you're the one who also needs this. You're the prisoner. It's quite something to think about in the lens of the Word of God, because often we think forgiveness is only outward. It's the words that we say, it's the gesture that we do, it's the hug that we give after we've said, you know, you're forgiven. It's the handshake we extend to demonstrate to them that they are forgiven. And yet, we're told in the Word of God that out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so again, it's one of those verses that makes you think a little bit more, that forgiveness really is inside of us first. It has to come from the heart. It's inward focus. We can say things and not mean them. Perhaps that happens with us in our own lives. I'm sure it does it. I'm sure we can relate to that. But then we're not truly forgiving someone. And so there's this action associated with it. But the Word of God, as is often the case, makes it a little bit more personal to really make us think about, are we forgiving? It's coming from our heart, if it's true. And if we've actually taken on the character of Christ and developed God manifestation to bring out his character.
Yeah, it reminds me of a great parable from Christ about the parable of the unforgiving servant, where the servant has this massive debt, and he's forgiven of it, and then he goes out and he's choking somebody else to give him money that he owes him. And then the unforgiving servant is thrown into prison until he pays it all back, right? And at the end of the parable, Jesus says, "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart."
Yeah, there it is.
So you can read over that too quickly, but that's exactly what you're saying, right? It's from your heart. That's where you have to forgive. Mm. Otherwise, it's not forgiveness.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you think about it, you know, we've outlined a number of interesting points. We really started with God in Exodus 34, demonstrating that God is forgiveness. Showed clearly it's followed through in the example of Christ. There's this idea that it then should be compelled from us to forgive based on what God has done for us. We looked at those principles of forgiveness, the faith, repentance, and developing a forgiving attitude, while also recognizing that forgiveness is very difficult. It is very hard. And so we kind of see it's this idea, forgiveness really is being aware, for sure. Your understanding of what it is that was wrong or who was wronged, and yet you're choosing, because you're compelled to forgive. There's this idea that there is no keeping a record of these wrongs. And you see it, you know, in Psalm 103, as you talked about, where the longer you think about east from west, it just, the longer you think, the further you go. And, you know, there is no keeping of a record of these things. And that's an amazing thing to think about, that God is promising to us that he won't keep a record if we go to him truthfully, with faith, asking for forgiveness. You know, I'll give you a funny story, Tim. Growing up, my mom used to have this little black book, and she would write any of our debts, so to speak. Let's say you got a speeding ticket, not saying who got one. Let's say you got a speeding ticket where you dinged the fender of a car and they needed to replace it or something of the sort. They would keep track of those debts. You had to pay them back.
Actually, monetary values.
Monetary values.
Really? Okay.
Yep. Pay them back. And, you know, that was a very visual thing for us. That was something that we could comprehend and see and know. But when you translate that to the way that God deals with our sins, there's no black book. And there's a little bit of comfort in that.
Yeah.
That's what God wants us to understand. And yet, how many of us have a little black book of the wrongs that have been done to us and the names of the people and the dates and the words that were said?
Yeah.
And the principle from God is let that go.
They're called grudges.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
And it's surprising when they just pop up every once in a while. Oh, I thought I dealt with that.
Yeah.
And then when it keeps happening and happening again. Now, Jesus actually talks about that in Luke chapter 17 is one instance of this. And it's in verse 3 and 4 where he says, "Pay attention to yourselves." That's an interesting way to start. He's saying, like, watch out about your inward thinking and your motives in this regard. He says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him."
Wow.
And then in another passage with Peter, he says like 7 times 70, like 490 times. He just kind of puts it way out of the ballpark, because who's going to count at 490 when they're forgiving somebody that many times? But we tend to, when somebody keeps repeating things or doing things to us, we tend to see their repentance as insincere. We tend to judge it. I don't like that apology you gave. I think it's half-hearted. And isn't Jesus really saying here, is like, no, you can't judge those things. You can't judge motives about how a person's coming to you. Just forgive. Mm-hmm. And you're ready to forgive. It's like what we talked about before, because that's God's character, and that's what we're trying to develop in our lives as well.
Yeah, it's the very principle that Christ brings out. You know, love your enemies and expect nothing in return. These principles are difficult to put into practice. And yet that's what forgiveness is, as you just kind of talked about. It's unlimited, it's immediate. The words you read are strong. You know, you must forgive.
Yeah.
And so you think about it, you know, for us as we contemplate. There's no option here. Yeah. You know, what are we to do? And well, we do it and we don't demand anything back. We don't expect anything back. We don't hope for anything back. And, you know, if we had a bit of a slogan, it's essentially just keep forgiving. You know, I think of that, what is it? I think it's like the Energizer Bunny, right? It just keeps going. Yeah, you know, that guy with the drum. But it's a funny way to think about it, but that's what forgiveness is. You just keep forgiving forever. You pray for them. You pray that God will forgive you, but you do it unconditionally and you do it forever.
With that passage you mentioned, I looked it up. I found it in Luke 6, verse 35, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High, for he's kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Expecting nothing in return, but he says, love your enemies, but he also says another place, pray for your enemies. Mm. And so there's that whole aspect again about prayer in our lives and praying for others and coming to God before this. Because, I mean, he knows our frame, as Psalm 103 said. He knows we're all dust and that we're all sinners, right? We all sin. And it's just appreciating that fact, realizing, you know, how devastating sin is in our lives.
Yeah.
And so, kind of wrapping all this up and getting back to the beginning of it when we talked about that this is who God is. When we think about the forgiveness of sins, it's not just God just wants to forgive us of our sins as something nice to do. This is really has everything to do with his purpose. He wants to do this, and I'm not saying this he's selfish about this, but he wants to do this for himself. As the Bible says, for his name's sake. Because what he wants to do is he wants to reconcile mankind to himself. He wants to reconcile people who will change themselves to be like him, to be one with him. And his whole focus is on the kingdom of God when Christ comes back. He wants to have people who have this attitude, this mind, the same mind that he does, so that they can share the kingdom with him. And there could be this glorious relationship. And so just a verse maybe to wrap this all up. I love this verse. This is from Isaiah 43 and verse 25, where God declares, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. So you see it there. And when you do any Bible readings, look out for it in other places. It's definitely in the Psalms and other places. But I blot out your transgressions for mine own sake. So this is for the very will and purpose of God, that his will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And that's how critical this whole thing is.
Hmm. You know, where my mind went as you kind of read that verse and thinking about, you know, what you read there in Luke 6. Where you expect nothing in return, but your reward will be great.
Mm.
And, you know, it makes me think God didn't say it will be easy, but it will be worth it. And this is not an easy thing, forgiveness. And I think that's why it's dealt with from Genesis. It's there in the garden, right, with Adam and Eve.
Yep.
And it's all the way through to the book of Revelation. When God will give those who can do this a crown of life. And it's not an easy thing. And just perhaps that's why God has to deal with it time and time and time again. And had to have his son, who in his moment of trial could say, forgive them. So we could get the understanding of that this isn't an easy thing to do. And it's going to take repetition and work and time, but it will be worth it.
Love it, Stephen. Thank you very much. Given us a lot to think about and to ponder and to actually put into action.
Thanks for coming. Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone.
This is a great start to Season 6 of the Essential Bible Studies podcast, but we have a lot of great studies coming up. In our next episode, we begin our studies in the Spirit by looking first at the Spirit of God. Makes sense, because the second verse of the Bible says, "The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters." That's pretty cool, but what does it mean? Hovering? What is the Spirit of God? Jay Mayock will be joining me to figure all this out and what it means for our lives of discipleship in Christ. Hope you can join us. Don't want to miss it? Make sure to subscribe on your podcast app or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or X to be reminded of new shows. As always, you can go to our website at www.essentialbiblestudies.org to listen to past episodes, use the contact form to send us a question, request one of our free media kits, or get the link to our online Bible study group. The Essential Bible Studies podcast is sponsored by the Book Road Christadelphian Ecclesia, located in the beautiful countryside of Ancaster, Ontario, Canada. Until we meet again, dear friends, I pray to God that you may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.